evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Another good day in the land of the living.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God to see another day. And I pray you had a good day. That you were productive. You got some things done.
Amen.
Right? I pray even if it wasn't that great of a day, that you're still encouraged because God is still good.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And it's not over for you yet.
No, we're here to
amen.
Be blessed by your word.
I don't have one. And we're praying God has one.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Okay, so we do praise God, amen, to be back in the house again for our Bible study. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 14. As we continue to talk about ministry that brings the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That we are blessed when we bless others. We are blessed when we serve others. So we want to continue with that tonight. Last week we were talking about how Jesus and how God views ministry. Right, when we saw the disciples' mom, the sons of Zebedee, their mom came and said, allow my son once to sit on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom. And Jesus answered that and said, it's not that way in the kingdom of God. In the world, people are concerned about being in positions of power and authority and lording it over other people.
I'm in control. I'm in charge.
Jesus says, it's not like that in the kingdom of God. He said, if you want to be great, then let that person be your minister. Whoever wants to be great, then you be the servant. And so greatness in the kingdom of God is through serving other people, not being served. And we know that's contrary to the way the world views things. We praise God for that. I'm glad that there's so many things in the Bible and in the kingdom that are contrary to the way the world looks at it.
Amen.
I'm glad about that. Amen. Sometimes that makes us outcasts. Those people, what's the matter with you? Why do you have to be like that? Well, because I'm under a different system.
Amen.
And we play by different rules. And we always win. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we play by God's rules. So we saw last week where you know, God views serving other people as being important. Amen. Jesus gave that as our example. And so we want to go on this week, and we're going to be focusing on our scripture text now, the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, we said that this miracle is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000. And so we're going to be looking at it in Matthew 14 tonight. Probably we'll turn to Mark 6 a little bit, Luke chapter 9. It's also in John chapter 6 as well. But let's pray tonight, and then we'll get into our next lesson. Amen. Father, we bless you and we praise you for Bible study. Father, you said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, it's our desire, O God, that we will hear your voice and, Father, receive your word rightly divided, yes. That, God, that we will receive revelation and we will receive your truth, that, Father, that we will be empowered, O God, as you speak words of life unto us. Father, we come here on tonight, our hearts are yearning for you, and we are believing by faith that, Father, you shall speak to us. And Father God, that we shall be transformed in some way, God, any way you want to, God. We just humble ourselves before you, and we ask you to have your way in this place and have your way with us. We thank you right now for your word. And thank you, God, for teaching us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so in Matthew chapter 14, what we want to discuss tonight, Jesus told us last week that, you know, it's important that we serve. We got to serve other people. And we have opportunities to serve other people, but that's what makes us great in the kingdom of God. Our positions don't make us great.
Right.
Our titles, our accomplishments, whatever they may be, or whatever we think they may be. Mm-hmm. Not in God's eyes. I mean, because really, what are you going to do? You know, sometimes you can impress people. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they promoted me to vice president.
Yeah?
Tell that to God. They made me vice president, you know, because, you know, you can tell you somebody, you know, yeah, I'm a district sales manager from the third largest phone company in the United States. Ooh, district sales manager for the third largest. You know what I mean? So people tell us those things, like, whoa, and I'm not trying to be little things, but we got to keep it in perspective. Tell God that. God's like, yeah. He made the universe, right? And here we are talking about, we got, you know, we got the district. Pretty soon it will be regional. I laugh at it because we need to laugh at ourselves, right? Because those things don't make us anything. They don't make us better people. They don't, right? Praise God. We should want to aspire and to achieve. I'm not against achievement, but we got to keep it in perspective. It doesn't make us who we are. Some people get so caught up in their job and they go, you know, they lose it when they lose their job because their identity was so closely connected to their job. That what happens now when that job gets taken away? Now you don't know what to do. You don't know who you are. We have to keep it in perspective, amen? But from Jesus' point of view, he says, it's not about that. It's about serving other people. Tonight we want to talk about how ministry is not convenient. Amen? Real ministry is not convenient. So let's look at Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at verses 13 and 14. It said, when Jesus heard of it, amen, and what he heard of was that John the Baptist had been killed. Amen. King Herod beheaded John the Baptist. And when you read Matthew 14, 1 through 12, you read that account. And so when Jesus heard of that King Herod had beheaded John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. All right, so let's stop there, and then let's just turn real quickly to Mark chapter 6 and then Luke chapter 9. Just look at one verse in each spot. Mark chapter 6. And let's look at verse number 34. It said, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then I guess we can look at Luke chapter 9, because we said we were going to go there. So let's look at there real quickly. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 11. Luke 9 and 11, it says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we can turn back down to Matthew chapter 14, and we see that Jesus just learned that John the Baptist, who he was close with, right, had just been beheaded, and it said that he went, and he heard about this, he went into a ship to a place apart. And let's just put it in perspective here. What do we think Jesus might have wanted to do after just getting this news? Okay?
Right.
Yeah, he may want to pray, right? Because he just got this news that John the Baptist had just been beheaded. It was sad news, terrible news for him, and he wanted to get away. You ever want to get away sometimes? want to get away from people. You want to get away from the phone. You want to get away from stuff. Sometimes we just need to be, I just need to get away, right? And especially in a time like this, right? This is a sad time. This is a time when he probably would need to be comforted, right? It's funny about that. Was Jesus comforted?
Yeah.
While in his earthly ministry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Scripture says in Hebrews that he's able to comfort us because he was comforted, right? The things that he went through and everything that he now can turn around and he can comfort us. And the Father comforted him, right? Angels comforted him. They ministered unto him. On several occasions we saw that. We see that in the Bible. And so Jesus is going and he probably, you know, he's like us. Don't forget, Jesus was 100% man on earth. 100% man. Right? He got tired. Right? He got frustrated. He got hungry. He got thirsty. Right? He got sad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was just like us. Amen? And so he probably wanted to be comforted at a time when he got bad news. So now he gets this bad news and he has in his mind, I just need to get away. And it says when the people heard that Jesus was around, they followed him. Now, I'm not going to say pretend that you're Jesus, but put yourself in his place right here. You just got this bad news, you want to be away, and now people want to follow you. Or they want to call you, text you, email you. What are you likely to do?
Ignore them.
Right? And if we ignore them, how would you feel? Would you feel like, oh, that's not right, I shouldn't ignore them?
Yeah.
You would feel like that? At that particular time? Okay. How many people may feel like you feel justified given the situation?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, you both? No, not sometimes. In this situation.
Oh, in that situation.
Right? You just got news that somebody you care about died. And now someone's coming and they're emailing you and calling you. And you say, what? You may ignore them? And so, let's go back to that. Now, you're going to feel, what, bad about it? Oh, man, I should really call them back.
No, they should understand.
Or, even if they don't even know, you right. Might just go, I have to tell them later.
Right.
I can't speak to them. Anybody ever had one of these, I can't speak to them right now?
Yeah.
You ever had those? You ever say that out loud? To yourself? I can't speak to them right now.
Thank God for caller ID.
You just took it right out of my mouth. You just took it right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I know there's a whole lot of people that say that. Thank God for caller ID. Because back in the day, you just had, in order to find out who was on the phone, you had to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as caller ID. You had to answer it. And then sometimes you answer like, hello? Yeah, but if someone was calling you at this time, you go, no, I can't take that call right now. Why? And many of us probably wouldn't feel the least bit guilty because we say, I'm going through something right now. This is not a good time, what? For me. And you know what? Not many people would blame you. Right now, right? Because it's almost natural.
Need your space.
Yeah, and especially at a time like this. So, but Jesus finds himself in this place, and he went apart to get his space, and the people came invading his space. They're following him. And in verse 14, it says that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. So it's not just a few folk, a whole lot of people. And look how he responded. He was moved with compassion toward them. I'm just telling the truth. If it was me, I don't know if they were writing a verse about me, it would probably just say, and he was angry. I'm just saying. Maybe on a good day when I'm really, really good, it's like he was, you know, he's sad. This is a challenge. How many of you know that? When you are in a personal situation and you know, you need some alone time, and maybe you need to be alone with God or to pray or to just go somewhere and sit down and collect your thoughts. And people come in, and these aren't just people either, right? Neither people have some need, because Jesus looked at them, and Mark said that when he looked at them, they looked like sheep without a shepherd. So he looked at them and saw, boy, these people need. They're lost. How quickly he turned from looking at his own situation to now looking at the people and saying, what do they need? That's remarkable. Right? That in a situation where he went apart to, right, we just said he probably wanted to be comforted. So here he is needing comfort. Nothing in the scripture suggests he received it. And now people are coming up on him and crowding him. And his first thought goes to, oh, they need a shepherd. Not, you know, us. If we would have said something that they need, we would have said, they need to get up out of my face. We wouldn't have said, right? He looked at them and said, they need a shepherd. How quickly his heart turned from looking at his own situation to now looking at theirs. That's remarkable. But it's our example, right? So he sees a great multitude. He's moved with compassion toward them. It said he healed their sick. We saw in Luke chapter 9, verse 11, it said that he taught them about the kingdom of God. So he sees them, and now look what he does. He's in this position where he needs comfort, wants to get away, see the people coming toward him, and now he stops, has compassion toward them, starts teaching them about the kingdom of God, and then heals their sick. Come on.
Yeah. Is he not the Son of God?
Amen. And again, for us, we probably would relate to anyone who would say, I'm shutting this thing down right now. I'm going to have to talk to you tomorrow or talk to you another time. And even if we did talk to someone, I don't know how many of us would have been in teaching mode. I don't know how many of us would have been in laying on hands mode to be healing people. In other words, I don't know how many of us would be willing to go, but how many of you know this is here so that we can take from this and say, you know what? When you serve other people, guess what? It's not always going to be nice and neat and convenient and come at the right time. A lot of us would like to program our good works. You know what I mean? A lot of us like to program our good works. You know, I'll do that when?
Monday, Wednesday, Fridays.
Yeah, you know, we'll have it. Saturday may be out. I sleep on Saturday. It may be, you know, right? We have things and we want to program it in. But see, right here, there's nothing in here that was a scheduled event. Right? And not only that, Jesus, we just said, we know what situation he was in and what state he was in. And it's unscheduled. These people come unannounced, and Jesus immediately starts serving them. And that's our example, but it's our challenge too, because that's a challenge right there. For us, you know, we like to schedule everything. We schedule everything. People schedule a time to talk to you now.
Yeah.
Before, you used to just pick up the phone and call people. Now, in business especially, you get an email or a text.
Let's set up a time and talk tomorrow. We don't just call tomorrow. No. We set up because we're so busy. We got so many things going on. We ain't productive, but we're busy. Let me set up a time and talk tomorrow. And you know when you set up the time? When it's convenient. You start looking. And if you got 2-3 things, that's it for the day. I know we're gonna have to look. We're looking to the next day, the next day. Am I telling the truth? Right? Your whole day's not full, but you're like, I got 2-3 things. No. But I need some me time that day. I need some surfing the internet time. I need some lunch time. I need some being on the phone time. I can't be working all the time. We like to schedule it. But here's the thing. People who have problems often don't come on schedule. They just show up. Right? The call just comes. My husband just left me. You think that was scheduled in their life? A friend who just lost a loved one. Think that was scheduled? Right? Those things come. People getting kicked out. Car crash. A fire. Someone just losing it, right? They've been trying to hold on for something, but now they just, that's it, I'm done. But they call you. And it's not going to be scheduled. There are a lot of people who don't come to church, period. Forget ministering to people. Just even come to church. Because their schedule doesn't allow it. We have to, for those of us who are here, right, we have to realize that Jesus sets an example for us that it can't be about your convenience, right? It can't be about our convenience. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for those who are going to be willing that when something comes across their path unannounced and there's a need, right, that we're going to be willing to put aside our thing and deal with somebody else's thing. That's what he's looking for. That's why we see this. Because Jesus has given us his example. And that's why it's so dramatic. Because for many of us, there's nothing worse than death. And a death in the family. And John the Baptist was like family to Jesus. So he had a death in the family. And yet, still with that, he still pushed himself aside and he went and he taught others and he healed others. And God said, okay, so now, you want to tell me about what? The game is coming on tonight? What? You want to get some extra sleep? What? You know what I mean? Because we say some stuff like this, like, oh. Everybody's supposed to understand. I got a game tonight. I watch the game. My show comes on tonight. I can't talk to you tonight. I mean, we talk tomorrow. Why? My show.
DVR.
No, but that's it. But they DVR it, but now tonight they watch it. Don't you know people got scheduled for when they watch the DVR show?
Yeah, you're right. They do.
You DVR the Sunday show, but you watch it on every Tuesday.
Yeah. That's what you're doing. No,
right. But you schedule it. You take it, now you're scheduling it. I guess you recorded it. Right, Kristen? You recorded it.
Yeah.
There's no tape anymore. We want to fit in our schedule. Now, sometimes, you know, we're put in a position of helping someone, and you know we want our situation to change first. So, for example, I'll do that, but you know I gotta. You ever said that? Or heard somebody say, "I gotta get my money together." Mm-hmm. They can't do certain things until they get their money together.
I used to hear that so many times when I was growing up, get my money together. I don't hear too many people saying that these days. Maybe that was an old time saying, right? Get my money together. And you just knew, oh yeah, okay, well, you gotta leave him alone. He gotta get his money together. Right? Sometimes we say, what? I gotta get myself together.
Get my act together.
Yeah, right. Right? I can't do anything for that. I gotta get my act together. I gotta get myself together. Right? I can't do too much, you know, well, the last one is in high school, and then, you know, when all my kids are out of the house. Then I'll do, you know what I mean? There'll always be something, you know, that we can point to, right? When my hours at work change. What's the danger in that?
Procrastination.
Okay, something else may come up. Because things always come up. So if it's not this, it's going to be that. And if it's not that, it's going to be the other. It can lead to procrastination. Here's one of the things that we should consider. What's the difference between someone who says, and let's just say someone said, well, where my kids are going. But you have somebody else who has, you know, they have that assembly line thing, you know, one kid's five, one's four, one's three. You know what I mean? You know? And yet, they're actively serving. How come? What's the difference between the one who's actively serving and the one who's saying, well, once my kids get into school, or once my kids do this? In other words, once things change. Decision. The decision. And the decision that comes from their heart. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing we got to be careful of. That external situation is not greater than your heart. If you want to do it, you'll find a way to do it. That's how it is in every area of our life. People who want to do something find a way to do what they truly want to do. People who don't want to do something find all kinds of reasons why I can't get done. It's a heart condition. If your heart really wants to do it, you'll do it. Even if you gotta bring your kids along with you.
That's right.
You'll do it. But if you don't want to do it, oh my goodness, there's no limit to the creativity.
Excuses.
I'm trying to be nice.
I know.
Of the story you'll tell in order to not be able to do it this time. That's why we got to be careful about it, because it tells on us. It tells about our heart, right? It's not about when your situation is going to change and all these things, but where's your heart? And that's what God's looking at. You know how in 1 Samuel 16:7, what? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Right? And so when he sees us, and he, because he knows our situation, but when we move forward and we're going to do something, even though it inconveniences us, God knows that's springing from a heart that's in line, that's aligned with his heart. That's what Jesus showed us right here. Even when it's inconvenient for you, you still say, what do you need? Right? Oh, I know you got to be at work in a few minutes. Yeah, that's okay. What do you need? Let me ask you this, because I know everyone here, I think, can answer this question, yes. There have been times in your life, hasn't there been, when you were being inconvenienced, you knew it, the other person knew it, and you assured them, don't worry about it, what is it? Have you had those?
Yeah.
Right? Now let me ask you, I'm not going to say a word. What kind of things did you feel or think, either at the time or immediately after, as you responded like that? If you could recall. Like the situation I just described. When you put yourself aside to do something for somebody.
Trying to feel it if you have.
Yes.
sometimes.
Yeah. What did you feel like? What did you think? As you did, everybody here said they did it. I'm just saying, you can recall, what did you feel like?
Sometimes I think, well, they do it for me, or I hope they would do it for me. So, I think what God wants me to do, so right. I do it.
Right. I've been there too, where you say, well, I might find myself here one day. Right? And you do what you do. What else? Don't make it hard. Did you feel bad?
No.
Okay. Sometimes we get too deep.
Yeah, it felt good. Yeah, it felt good about doing it because the person didn't have any other choice. So I was like the fall guy. I was the plan B.
Okay. So you felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes I think that I was helping that person read what they don't.
Say again?
But I was just like part of their harm is like sometimes, oh. You know.
Okay.
They didn't mean to get something for me, or someone else did something for me, that was just, you know.
Right. Do a thing for other people feels good. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Don't make it too complicated, right? How do you feel? I felt good. Right? Because you ever been in a situation like you talk to somebody, you're helping somebody, and you just know, and you just get this sense in your spirit, this is the right thing to do. Even if it's costing you something right there, you go, this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I really need to be doing my laundry right now, but, you know what I mean? But, I really need to be doing my homework right now, but, that'll take care of itself. Mm-hmm. This person needs me. You know what I mean? And when you're motivated by that, all of a sudden that thing that you have that's so important. Mm-hmm. Trying to see how many things you can have? That thing you have that's so important, right? All of a sudden you say, I don't need to do that. Right? Because what? Because there's a human being in front of you that you say, let me help. Do we always do that? No, because we got to fight against that stuff we were talking about in the beginning. I can't do this right now. This is not a good time.
Would pay it forward fit into this category too?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I do it all the time. In Wawa, like I'll go in and get a cup of coffee, and the person behind me has a cup of coffee, and I'll say, put that on mine, and I buy them a cup of coffee. And they say, why are you doing that? I said, I just tell them, I said, pay it forward.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean by that you will, you know, if you feel you should do it to the next person. Mm-hmm. And I just heard it on the radio. There's actually some line you call into where somebody was talking about on the turnpike or one of the tolls that this person said they'd pay for the person behind them. So that person paid for the person. And they did it like 13 times before somebody didn't pay for the next person. 13, I don't know why, but
that was my cousin.
Yeah. Wasn't going to pay that extra 70 cents, you know. But I try to do that all the time, and it makes my heart feel good. And then it gets somebody asking questions, and like then to say, well, I was going to get a pack of cigarettes. I said, I'm not buying your cigarettes.
Right.
You know, but I'll buy your coffee.
Yeah. I won't buy your nicotine, I'll buy some caffeine.
Only kidding.
I drew a line.
I drew that line in the sand.
I guess there might be some similarity. The only thing is this, and I don't know about people who do pay it forward stuff, because I don't know if some think about paying forward with the idea that something's going to come back to me one day. You know what I mean? And one of the things that one of the principles, that God's principles are sowing and reaping, right? I mean, you sow and you're going to reap. And you'll sow and you'll reap whether you're sitting there going, I want to reap. Because if you sow, you now have put into action a spiritual law that can't be stopped. So it's going to happen. But it's better for us, certainly, to have that pure heart where you're just helping someone because you're focused on them. You know what I mean? And I don't know how that, you know, the pay it forward goes, because I think, I don't know, you know, because everybody's different
right.
in how they go about that.
Exactly.
A
lot of times I do it anomalously. I'll just say, when that guy comes up, I bought his car.
Right.
And he's a guy in uniform.
The same thing applies to the Word of God. That when we put into practice a principle of God, we have to do it with a pureness of heart that's not saying, I want something back. You know? And if we do that, then God goes, well, we saw this when we read the feeding of the 5,000 in full a couple of weeks ago, and we made the point there that the disciples had no food themselves. But even though they now were put to work by Jesus feeding 15,000 people on this mountainside, they left that exchange with full baskets of food, each one of them. And they didn't even want it. Jesus had to tell them, gather up the fragments. Otherwise, they just went home. They were like, okay, Jesus, everybody ate? Okay, Jesus, everybody's all right. Anybody ate? Anybody good? All right, so we're out. But Jesus said, no, gather up the fragments, there's nothing to be lost. They weren't looking for it. And they got the blessing. And I think that's what happens to us, right? Aren't you glad those times when God has somebody bless you or a blessing comes into your life and you weren't looking for it? In other words, you didn't do it to be blessed. But then somebody turned around and blessed you for doing it anyway. That's the best kind, right? Because you know in your heart, I wasn't looking for anything. That's a good place to be, because some people get very upset in the church because they do things and they expect to be acknowledged. And if they don't get it, it's not just a church, it's in life, on a job, elsewhere. They do it, but they don't do it with the right motivation. They do it to be seen. They do it to be complimented. They do it to be, you know, promoted. But we just want to do it from the heart. So now Jesus comes here and this is his example. He's just gotten some bad news. He wants to be apart by himself. People come and crowd into his space, right? Not allowing him to get the rest and the comfort that he wants to get. He looks at them with compassion, not anger. He teaches them. That means he had to take some time with them. And he healed their sick. Now, what would have happened if Jesus responded the way many times we do? What would have happened to these people?
Be lost.
They would have been lost, but he looked at them and said, they look like people
without a shepherd.
Sheep without a shepherd. So they would have been lost.
They would have been sick and they would have been hungry.
They would have been hungry.
And they wouldn't have gotten knowledge because you taught them.
That's right. And they wouldn't have gotten knowledge. So think about what would have happened then. Mm-hmm. They'd have been lost. They'd have been sick. They'd have been hungry. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but they would have been ignorant, right? They would have been, right? They wouldn't have had gotten a teaching. If he would have said, not now. I got things to do. This is not a good time. In other words, if he would have responded like many of us very often respond. Isn't it amazing that it can have that kind of sweeping effect? Just one person decided not to do something. I wish we could see the chain reaction of events sometimes. I wish I could. I'm just saying for myself. Of what happens when you fail to do something. I think about it with my kids, our kids. You know, you tell them how to do something, and then they don't do it. And then how that sets up a chain reaction. Because mom said, they didn't do it. Now mom talking to me about it. Now I gotta go talk to them about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody drops something in the supermarket, doesn't pick it up. Somebody else comes along, kicks it. Somebody else comes along, right, slips on it. you know why? From the one person who dropped it, he just kept walking. Right? It's, God has made us where we all matter to each other, whether we know it or not. We all matter. Isn't it amazing how that one guy who's on the highway, weaving in and out and tailgating, just like messes up everybody, you just feel it? You know what I mean? We matter to each other. And so here Jesus, he, all these things, no, people going home hungry, people staying sick, people staying lost in darkness, people hopeless because they don't know which direction to turn. But because he said, I'm going to push myself aside, what happened? People are fed, people are taught, people are healed, people are comforted and given guidance and direction. So, what would happen if that happened? If Jesus responded the way we normally do? Not too good. But now let's flip it around. What would happen today if we
acted like Jesus?
We act like Jesus. Yeah.
The world would be a different place.
Our homes would be different. Right? Churches would be different. Communities would be different. Right? I mean, just family relationships would be different. If we just weren't, you know, so quick to go, not now. I've got something to do. It's a challenge for all of us. I feel the Spirit speaking to me because I know so many times I got stuff to do. You ever got stuff to do?
All the time.
Stuff. Or just work. Oh, I got so much work to do. I thought about this fun that that come up again. I'm not going to say I got to get in trouble with Sister Fennell tonight. Because you're like, oh no, you ain't saying that. You say that sometimes. Oh no, you didn't. You must have gone too far this time. But I was thinking, because I was in the,
Those standard phrases that come out.
I guess, but just things that come in my head.
Right.
You know? But they're applicable, though.
Well, go ahead and say it.
No. But you know, we talk about, I got work to do. Remember that song? Didn't somebody make a song like that?
Yeah.
I got work to do. I got work to do. Remember that? I got work to do.
Brandy
so
knows
much
it.
Work to do. Right? That's how we act. I got work to do. Can't answer no. Why? I got work to do. And the funny thing about it is we never get to the end of our work to do.
Nope.
So in some ways, right, it's not something that can't be sacrificed. Because here's the thing. When we help other people, what happens as far as God dealing with us?
He helps us.
And that's the thing. You'd be more productive if you help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But by us saying, I'm not saying us in this room, but just generally speaking about the human condition. If by us saying, I got work to do, we're saying, I got to take care of my stuff. See, God doesn't help people who are so concerned about taking care of their stuff only, and especially to the exclusion of other people. But when God knows you got stuff to take care of, but you didn't leave your stuff to go help somebody else with their stuff, God honors you. And God's going to help you with your stuff. Now, when you get back to your stuff, maybe he'll send other people to help you with your stuff, or he'll give you such good ideas about your stuff that you now can get that thing done a whole lot faster, a whole lot better than you would have beforehand. I love when God just drops an idea in your head. You go, that makes so much sense. You were trying to figure it out. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And then that thing will jump. You ever get one of those? And it just makes it, and you go, Because God is going to take care of those who are going to move according to how His Spirit is leading them and allow themselves to be used by Him to help other people. Amen. And this is what we want to get down in our spirit, to be more selfless and help other people. Jesus gives us the example that even when it's difficult, amen, and we have other things to do and other things we'd rather be doing, God still looks and says, okay, who's going to be willing to push themselves aside to help somebody else in need? Amen?
Amen.
And we want to be the ones to answer that call more often, right? Because every time we do that, we're acting just like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So listen, it's not always going to be convenient, right? Amen. When calls come, middle of the afternoon, somebody needs to talk. You ever get those? Can I talk to you? And you know, this is going to be a long minute, Lord, I can tell. Right? But people come to you because they say, you know, because they know you give advice or you whatever, you know what I mean? But they come to you because they right? And you go, okay. And you don't get to the end of your to-do list, but somehow you know when you go to bed that night, it's okay. I might not have got everything that I needed to get done today or that I thought I needed to get done today, but it's okay. Right?
Right.
Amen. So it's not always convenient. Amen. Let's stop here. We'll pick up again next week. Amen. Amen. We serve other people, right?
Amen.
We want to do things for others. Who are we going to serve first?
God.
All right. Sunday school answers on Wednesday. And then, but here's the thing. Everything we do should start at home. Right? Don't serve on a job if you don't serve at home. Don't even serve at church if you don't serve at home. I really believe that. You can't serve anybody at church. At home, don't serve anybody in church. Your training ground is at home. Your spouse, your children, your parents. Serve. Get some practice. People want to go to heaven and they think they're going to be in a choir. You don't even praise God down here. This place you get to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You practice down here. Well, you want to be head of the music ministry. Let's pray tonight. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you have shown us tonight. That God, that serving other people, helping other people, being there for other people is oftentimes not convenient. It's going to come at times that will test us and challenge us. But God, we believe that those are times that, God, you are looking to see who will operate in the heart of your dear Son, Jesus. Father, we're praying right now that each one of us will take up the challenge, oh God, and that Father God, that we will avail ourselves unto you to be used by you to meet the needs of other people,
yes.
No matter what we have on our plate. Father, we can't do it without you. So we just ask you to help us, to inspire us, to prompt us, oh God. And Father, each and every time that we successfully do it, we will give your name the praise,
yes.
Because we cannot take any credit or any glory for it. But Father, it is our heart's desire to be more like Jesus, that we can have the positive effect that he had in this situation. We can have it in the various situations in our own lives. And Father, we believe that as we do that, you will be glorified, you will be magnified, you will be praised in the earth. And for that, we are just so thankful. So Father, we give you praise right now. We thank you, Lord, for just showing us more of yourself and continuing to reveal your heart as it pertains to ministry. Ministry truly does bring the blessing. And ministry that brings the blessing many times, God, is not convenient. And Father, we thank you for showing us, teaching us, and helping us with this lesson. To you we give all praise. Now, God, as we leave, God, guide us home safely one more time. And we just thank you for your abiding presence with us. Continue to rule in our homes and in our hearts. We invite you in, O God, to have your way. And we just bless you, O God, and we give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.